Several U.S. Capitol Police officers have been suspended, and 10 to 15 others are under investigation for appearing to support the rioters who stormed the U.S. Capitol building last week. The Capitol Police Force has a new acting chief, but the chief who resigned following the insurrection told our next guest that he fears what we saw last week could happen again. Carol Lenig is national investigative reporter for The Washington Post. And Carol, what more can you tell us about the officers who appeared to support what was happening last week and how their actions may have actually contributed to it?
This really caused the Capitol Police chief and the Capitol Police generally a lot of consternation. Videos emerged showing officers, at least one, wearing a MAGA hat, a red MAGA hat, Make America Great Again, sort of the symbol of Donald Trump's support group. And others appeared to be taking selfies with some of the rioters. Now, the reason this is so disturbing is obviously you're not supposed to take a political stance when you're in law enforcement, but it's even more disturbing when one of the men among you battling in hand-to-hand combat has died, one has committed suicide in the wake of this event. So what happened with those other officers, a very small, minute fraction, is very disturbing to their own workforce.
Well, and I know that the former Capitol Police Chief, Stephen Sund, told you that he thinks this kind of breach is going to happen again. Why does he think that?
He's deeply, gravely concerned about it. He warned me the other day when we were in our interview that the security system that they had there, no matter how many more crews they called in, would not have been able to stop this group. Now, if they'd had National Guard, if they'd had a wall of armed men or folks with long guns and rifles, they might have been able to do something. But they could not stop with a force of 1,400 officers, at least half of them inside, scurrying to protect and secure lawmakers. They could not stop an armed, violent assault by 8,000 protesters. You know, one thing that's fascinating is this group seems to have been quite organized and prepared for war. They came wearing gas masks, helmets. They had riot shields. Many of the Capitol Police officers didn't have riot shields. This group of protesters came with pipes. They came with climbing gear. So while not a military force, quite an organized one.
Well, so if he thinks the National Guard could have made a difference, I know that he also told you that he tried six times to get the National Guard reinforcements to the Capitol building. Why was it so hard to get that done? And who ultimately makes that decision?
It's such a good question. 2 days before the protests on January 6th, Chief Sund asked his sergeants at arms, who are the Senate and House leaders who represent those two chambers and handle security. They are his bosses. He asked them for this emergency declaration that would have allowed the National Guard to be put on automatic standby. But his two bosses, Paul Irving and Mike Stanger, the two sergeants at arms for the Senate and the House, said that made them a little uncomfortable. They'd have to run it up the chain. They were worried about what it would look like. They suggested that he reach out to the National Guard informally and just ask them to be ready, essentially. You know, how long would it take you to get over here if we actually have a problem? So Chief Sund did that. But in the middle of the crisis, when his forces are being pummeled, he puts out an emergency call. And it takes a long time for the Army to agree, essentially. Nearly a half hour after the Capitol has been breached at 2:26, Chief Sund is put on a conference call between the mayor and the Army over at the Pentagon across the way. And the Lieutenant General Piatt, who's on the call, said he's not sure he likes the visuals of National Guard standing a police line in front of the Capitol. This is gobsmacking to all of the people on the call. We've now interviewed five people who are on that call who all agree with Chief Sund's summary of it, which is that the Metropolitan Police Department chief is so shocked, he says to the Lieutenant General, "Are you telling me you are denying an emergency request for help at the Capitol?" And the Lieutenant General says, "Well, I'm not denying it. I'm just telling you we need a plan, and I'm not sure I like the way this looks." Of course, I'm paraphrasing.
Well, let me just That's such a good point, Carolyn. Let me just ask, because I'm sure that some listeners may be equally gobsmacked to hear optics as the explanation for not sending in the National Guard, because, of course, folks only have to think back a few months to when National Guard troops were, in fact, deployed during peaceful Black Lives Matter protests in the capital city, I should say. So that inconsistency is really striking to a lot of folks.
Yes, you don't have to look very far, Callum, to see the images that we've had from the summer of National Guard posted virtually everywhere in front of our iconic Washington buildings. It wasn't a visual problem then.
Carol, you were describing a moment ago how long it took to respond. In fact, in total, it took 6 hours to actually secure the Capitol building. What do we know about what President Trump was doing during those 6 hours? Some of your colleagues at the Post are reporting today that he was watching the events unfold on TV, but actually doing very little about it and not even taking phone calls from lawmakers who were under threat on Capitol Hill.
I take a breath because, yes, that is true. His closest advisors have told my colleagues at the Washington Post that he was riveted watching live television. And because he could not TiVo it or did not want to TiVo it, he was mostly just monitoring it. And at first, he was fairly cheered by the fact that Trump supporters were making this very dramatic show of their disappointment. The other thing that is striking about this moment, Callum, is all around the city, there are members of Congress and their staff, some of whom are in fear for their life, are in barricaded rooms. They've put furniture up in front of their office doors to keep marauding bands from kicking down their door, as they've been trying to do. They hear the kicks on their door and the slams and the flagpoles coming in at the glass nearby, and they are calling in using their Rolodex for whatever good it can bring. One staffer to Mitch McConnell made an emergency call to Bill Barr's former chief of staff and said, please, please, I am worried people are going to die if we don't get help. Ultimately, he is patched through to the deputy FBI director, who, without invitation, without any coordination with anyone, dispatches three SWAT teams to the scene who help secure the Capitol and help the D.C. police officers who also, you know, immediately streamed onto the complex. I think that's what's so galling to some of the Capitol police officers. They were in a fight for their lives. They were overrun. And some people were rushing to help them. Some people were answering the call. Some people were answering the phone and taking decisive action. And the president and the Army were not among that group.
You know, as you describe the experience, it was so scary for the people who were, you know, as you say, barricaded in their offices, hoping help would arrive. And they're going to want answers, of course, Carol. So let me ask about accountability. Do you think that we're going to see some kind of, analog to the 9/11 commission to investigate what happened?
I believe there are going to be multiple investigations, and some are already underway into what in the world happened. Chief Sund has helped, you know, I think, bring a lot of light to the failures. He personally takes full responsibility for a lack of robust planning, but he also wants people to know what really happened the days before. And in the midst of the crisis, I think that these series of investigations are going to dig deep into the Army's response and also a deep fear within the Capitol Police and within the Metropolitan Police Force that there was a lot of sympathy for this group of white conservative protesters, a lot of sympathy within our government, especially at some of the senior leadership roles in the administration, for seeing this group get to voice its will. And as Rudy Giuliani said, you know, take this as a trial by combat. Today, the Army provided us with their response. They dispute some elements of what Chief Sund has said. Of course, there were many people on that call, and five of them confirm Chief Sund's version, so that's going to be interesting to sort out. We have received some answers from the FBI about their experience on that day, and I'm grateful to them for sharing it with us. There's also going to be questions about what chatter the FBI had in the days before this event, and indications that this was very coordinated. A warning was out there. People said they were going to storm the Capitol, and guess what? They did. I think it's really hard to Monday morning quarterback everything in the world, because a lot of people make threats on social media. But it will be really interesting to see just how organized this group was and what our government knew at the time about that organization.
No doubt we'll learn more about that in the months ahead, and I know that you'll keep tabs on it. Carol Lenig is national investigative reporter for The Washington Post. Carol, thank you.
Thank you.